This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Joining us today are Senator Russell Ruderman, owner of Island Naturals, a Big Island health food chain of stores, and Chamber of Commerce head Sherry Minor McNamara, whose members, big and small, stand to be affected. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
You know, today we take a crack at a very important issue affecting Hawaii. And Senator Ruderman, can you give us a kind of a general bird's eye view of what's before the legislature?
Well, there was an assortment of bills introduced relating to increasing the minimum wage. And I believe there's one going forward in each chamber, one in the House and one in the Senate. Different provisions and schedules are being discussed. As you know, first, if we raise it, how quickly should we raise it? Should there be some exemptions? And there's also some discussion of maybe we offering a tax credit to businesses that pay this minimum wage and or to help offset it. Or perhaps there's, you know, a discount of the wage for businesses that pay for medical insurance. Those are some of the kind of ideas. I think what the consensus seems to be heading for is a dollar per year increase for 5 years with a few exemptions carved out.
And you support the idea of raising the minimum wage, correct?
I do. I support it strongly, even though I have more than 200 employees. And for me, it's a little bit putting my money where my mouth is, you know, and I feel like I'm someone who sees both sides of this issue. I understand the costs to businesses of increasing the minimum wage, but I feel like I also understand the cost to society of not addressing our fast-growing poverty problem. And I think that that's going to lead to an unacceptable society if it's not already. You know, we have people sleeping in doorways, people that are working two or three jobs to make ends meet, people that don't have time with their families or simply can't pay their bills. You know, in the richest state in the country, I think that's an unacceptable situation.
And Sherry, what's your take on these bills? Are all bad? Do you support any of them?
Well, I think it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. Perhaps there's some businesses that can't afford to pay more than the minimum wage, but there's definitely other businesses, especially small businesses, that it's the fabric of our communities, that cannot afford increases. The cost of doing business is already high, as we know, and that affects the cost of living as well, because when the cost of doing business increases, so do products and services, which in turn will impact the consumers. And so, again, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so that's where we have a concern, because we have heard from our small businesses. We have heard how the last increases have impacted them. And so while we understand the urgency of addressing poverty, homelessness, the business community obviously is concerned about it and not unsympathetic. And we certainly want to do what we can to ameliorate the situation. But simply increasing the minimum wage, we believe, is not the silver bullet.
Right. We were hearing $15, $17. I think this morning I was reading that Bernie Sanders wants to raise it to 25, you know. So it's a tough situation that we're in. You know, we want to help the folks that are in these low-paying jobs, but how do you do it so that we're not hurting businesses and so that they're cutting employees, right? Because that's what we heard.
Correct. And we're hearing, again, from the small business community, and we like to approach it more of a holistic approach. What's driving up the cost of living issues? Housing, obviously, transportation, cost of goods and services, childcare. So simply raising the minimum wage won't address the issue. While it may increase one person's salary, it might cut another person's job. So where is it moving the needle? So again, we like to approach it more from a holistic standpoint.
And have we heard of any good numbers where businesses have actually had to roll back their employees?
Well, we've been talking with some of our members and asking them how the past increase has affected them, and some have had to cut hours, some have automated, some have taken away benefits such as free meals to the employees, and then one employer said any small increase would add another $45,000 to the cost of doing business. And so, again, I think each small business has a different story they can tell as to how the increase will impact them as well as their employees.
Now, I was reading some of the testimony that was submitted for all these bills before the lawmakers, and you know, they were saying, yeah, $10.10, that means you make $21,000 a year. They're saying one in three actually earn less than a living wage. And there were folks that wrote in that were saying, you know, I make $15 an hour now. That's not a living wage. I don't qualify for food stamps, you know, Medicaid, and yet it's just so hard living paycheck to paycheck. You know, so Senator Rudeman, you talked about how you had introduced a bill that you were hoping that would be kind of a compromise for folks.
Well, the bill that I introduced, and I hope some of its ideas will be included in the final discussions, I thought of three reasonable exemptions to the minimum wage. One would be for small businesses, as Sherry mentioned, maybe businesses with fewer than 10 employees, or maybe that's not the right number, but small businesses maybe could have a discounted minimum wage. I also think that perhaps when you're employing someone under 18, maybe that could be an exemption, and maybe there could be an exemption for the first 4 weeks of employment. We can call it a training period. And my thought is each of those exemptions could have perhaps a 10% discount from the minimum wage. I don't think any of those things are really the important issue, but they perhaps politically might remove some opposition so that we could move forward with the bigger picture.
Now, many of our families struggle paycheck to paycheck, you know, keeping afloat, much less getting ahead. The county mayors made the issue part of their platform, and some worry that a hike too high and too soon will be too much of a burden, and some businesses are pushing back. The governor did also address this issue in his State of the State. Let's take a listen.
Concern for others, whether they are homeless, incarcerated, disadvantaged, our children or the community at large, that is the hallmark of who we are. Concern for others is why we are submitting legislation to bring the minimum wage closer to a real living wage.
And then Mayor Kirk Caldwell spoke before state legislators at the end of January. Here's what he had to say.
And in the city and county of Honolulu, over the last 2 years, our population has actually declined by about 6,000. We're a little short of a million people. And I believe that decline are folks who are from here, who can't afford to live here. And so they moved to the continent for better opportunities. We have bills that we submitted that would increase the wage up to $15 in the year 2020. In the year 2021, it would be pegged to the Consumer Price Index, and it would allow each of the counties to raise it further if they wanted to, based on CPI and cost of living in various counties.
Now, I know the other county mayors also express their support for raising the minimum, but concern about the speed and the rate at which it would go up. Any thoughts about, you know, where the counties sit with this, Senator?
Well, I can't speak for the counties, but in general, of course, there's concern about how fast we raise it. I mean, making it 15 by 2020 would be, you know, that would be objectionable to me. I think the appropriate rate of increase is about $1 per hour per year. And that's the same rate that we had for 4 years here, during which time, by the way, our unemployment figures went down. Our economy continued to boom. I mean, there's no objective measure you can look at the 4 years where Hawaii raised its rate $1 per year and say it had a negative impact, to my knowledge. And now there's also a discussion of 17 or 22. And the fact is a lot of other areas around the country, including some states like New Jersey, Massachusetts, New York, as well as municipalities like Seattle and San Francisco, they're raising their rates to 15. So to me, that's a standard we should achieve, where we should at least catch up to that standard. We have the highest cost of living of any state in the country, and it's comparable to places like Seattle and San Francisco. So I think 15 is the right place to shoot for, and $1 per year softens the blow, and it is gradual enough that businesses can adjust. And I don't see any negative impacts in the places that have done it. In fact, their economies have continued to thrive.
What do you think, Sherry?
Well, I think it all depends where the studies come from or who we're hearing from, because we hear differently as well from our counterparts. That does have an impact, and industries are different jobs are positions are different, company size, and there's so many different factors to take into consideration. But one thing that is different in Hawaii compared to all the other states, we have prepaid health care. Healthcare costs will continue to increase. In fact, we just had our healthcare summit, and the Deputy Insurance Commissioner stated that the cost of healthcare will exponentially increase by 2026. And if I got the numbers correct, I think for a family of four, it turned out to be some exorbitant amount. It was $14,000 per employee or something like that. But something, he said it could be unsustainable. On top of prepaid healthcare, we have work comp, TDI, unemployment insurance, payroll tax, and most of our goods are imported in. So there's so many different cost factors involved. So simply, again, driving up the minimum wage will have an impact, and that's what we're hearing from the small business community.
Okay, we have a call coming in from Honolulu. Eric, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm a small business owner here in Honolulu. I actually am a general contractor on the island, and I started my company about 4 years ago. I had about $400 in capital when I started it, and I self-imposed a $20 an hour minimum wage for all employees. And I think that the idea that this can't be done is honestly just, I don't buy it at all. From my experience, I've bid it against companies that pay their workers as low as $9, $10 an hour, and we always win the bids. And what I've learned from my experience is that the money is going to the top at a very fast rate, and the people who own the companies tend to buy houses in Diamond Head, Portlock, and other luxury locations, and they're exploiting their workers. And that's pretty much been my experience. And when you don't exploit your workforce and you pay them a living wage, you don't have employee turnover, you don't have to retrain, you make back the money that you would otherwise give up, and you also provide living wages to your workers, and your business thrives. Last year, we did $3.5 million in work, and I added 11 more employees.
Wow, good for you. Kudos for paying your workers a living wage.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The caller brings up a couple of good points that I commend him for his attitude, which I share. I think we have to, as business owners, we have an obligation to our full-time employees. We can't just call ourselves a success while our employees live in poverty. But he mentioned a couple of things that are often left off the table when people say, oh, it's going to hurt businesses. A living wage or a higher wage increases employee loyalty, increases their performance, their retention. A person who's not getting by is, by definition, always looking for another job, always susceptible to someone offering them $1 an hour more. And so then for a business, a purely business point of view, you have to factor in the cost of turnover, the cost of training new people, the cost of having employees that don't feel loyal and aren't committed to the company. These are real business costs. You can't look at only one side of the ledger and say you've analyzed it from a business point of view.
And Sherry, what are you seeing? Because employee retention is a big deal.
Correct, with the low unemployment rate. I mean, commend Eric for providing a living wage to his employees and those employers that can and able to do that. Again, the mom and pop stores, they can struggle to pay the increases, and the market will drive that. So, you know, we hear from our businesses, and sometimes there's a sense of frustration because there is this negative label on business saying it's all about profit, they don't care about their employees, which is quite the opposite. We hear that they're families. There's been, for example, restaurants where we have longtime employees because employers take care of them in so many different ways, but providing benefits, offsetting tuition costs, education, childcare service, what it may be. You know, I think employers try to take care in which they have the capacity to. So again, to the caller, commend him for paying the living wage and above, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. And small businesses, mom-and-pop stores, or Okazuya, they're a fabric of our communities. They make up our community.
And we've seen many of these little mom-and-pop restaurants close down. Just, you know, they just can't handle it anymore.
Well, I'd love to address that. Yeah, we see some close down, and we also hear the specter of automation addressed or layoffs. The curious thing about that argument to me is those things are happening anyway. You know, we frequently hear people say, well, if you raise the minimum wage, businesses are just going to automate more and lose jobs. They're automating anyway. There's no stopping that tide. So the important, and I agree that small businesses should have some, very small businesses should have some exemptions. There may be some cases where the mom and pop store can't afford it. But in general, businesses that don't pay their employees a livable wage are putting the cost of those employees onto government, which is taxpayers. We're providing them with food stamps, with rent subsidies, with the cost of homelessness and poverty. We, the taxpayers, are supplementing that. Someone's paying that cost. It seems to me only right that the business ought to be the people, ought to take care of their own people in that fundamental sense.
I was at a luau this weekend, and a gentleman sitting across from me was saying he was working three jobs, and, you know, he had two young children, and that's kind of heartbreaking because, you know, he would like to be able to spend more time with his family, and yet he's trying to provide for them. And you hear lots of these stories, whether it's a father trying to help his daughter through college, and he's working, you know, security at night, and he's got a job with the city. It's tough.
And we don't challenge that at all. It is tough. It's tough living in Hawaii. But again, simply raising the minimum wage, is that the silver bullet? Are we addressing all the, should be addressing all the different issues, including long-term issues, establishing a talent pipeline, looking for ways to create more high-quality jobs? So there's immediate goals and long-term goals, and simply increasing the minimum wage to ask ourselves, is it really going to move the needle? Is it going to address the issue? Is it going to solve the issue? Or is it going to have an impact to some employees where businesses have no choice but to reduce hours or cut benefits?
If you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about the battle to raise the minimum wage, and we'd like to know what you think. You can join the discussion by calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. We have a call coming in from the Big Island. Jeff, you have a question?
Aloha, Sherry. Aloha, Senator. Jeff Gomes from Hawaii Bookmark. Hey, I just went down to pay for my vehicle registration. I paid $466 for two vehicles. On the way there, I saw at least seven other vehicles from out of state, not registered. I want to know how the cost of living is determined. I recently opened up my gallery and I hired employees, and I'm proud to say I'm paying them $12 an hour, but I had to hire employees who have vehicles because the county of Hawaii, everybody in the shipment business park, we pay for the bus, but the bus doesn't come in the shipment business park, and the bus won't even stop along the highway to let people out or pick them up. So if you don't have a vehicle, you cannot work in the shipping business park. The county does not allow that. You got to figure it out. You'll get a ride, commute, something else. The county will not help you get a job in the business park.
So your question is what? What's a living wage?
What is the living wage, and how can the county help us reach a lower living wage? Because this morning when I went to the county, I had to pay for parking.
Well, I think one of the caller, hi, Mr. Gomes, I didn't recognize you first. I think he's talking about the frustration that in Hawaii County, on the Big Island, we don't have a functional public transportation system. That's a related but slightly separate problem. If it were up to me, that would be the highest priority for Hawaii County, is to establish a workable transportation system where people can take the bus who can't afford their cars. It does have to do with poverty and the cost of living, but I think it's a little bit unique to the inexcusable lack of reliable bus service on the Big Island, and it's not so directly related to what we're talking about here in general statewide, in my opinion. I think it's related to poverty. People can't afford their own cars, and it would be great if they had public transportation to rely upon, but we're trying to address poverty statewide, and it's not about the bus system, whether we raise minimum wage or not.
Right, but we hear you. I mean, the cost of gas and the Big Island, you've got farther to drive, and so it's tough. Sherry, you want to chime in on this? I know folks are talking about, should we peg the minimum wage to the consumer price index? What do you think?
Well, we have a concern about that because that would be yearly increases. And what happens when there is a depression or a recession, rather, when economy is down, but yet the rate will continue to stay there or increase? So we don't necessarily support the CPI index just because those increases does not take into consideration the economic outlook.
And I actually share some of the chamber's concerns. I'm not convinced that tying it to CPI automatic increases is the way to go. But the reason that's so attractive is because politically it's hard to revisit this issue. It's hard to come to the table with it. So if we had that cost of living adjustment, perhaps we wouldn't have to deal with it every 5 years or so. So it's a politically attractive alternative. From a business point of view, I share the concerns Sherry mentioned. What's most important to businesses, I think, is predictability, gradual change, and ability to plan and to be able to rely on your projections for next year.
We have a call coming in from Kapolei. Ali, do you have a question for our guests?
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you so much for having this conversation. First, I would like to say, in reference to the earlier call from Eric, I really admire his initiative to pay his employees $20 an hour, even despite a heavier burden for him. I really appreciate some of the points that he emphasized. Although I do agree with many points that both senators make. Many of the big boxes companies in the world and in our country that have taken over many of the small businesses and moved small businesses out of communities can afford to have huge profits, are still showing large profits, can pay a better minimum wage, especially in Hawaii, where our cost of living is the highest for gas, for electricity, for food. Just cell phone alone is many of my friends' paychecks who are struggling to pay their school bills, struggling to pay just to get to school. I really think a good idea that could offset for the bigger picture is federally subsidized school and health care. In the long term, because many of these jobs are going to be obsolete because many of the big box companies and companies are going automizing their workforce. So that's something to think about. But if we were to increase the minimum wage, it doesn't seem like a dollar a year is efficient enough because many of my friends who work at Best Buy, Macy's, struggle and work four jobs.
You're right.
And don't have enough to pay their bills.
You're right. I was in a store recently, and it was the self-checkout, and, I just thought, okay, we're headed toward this, and we're going to see, no more cashiers in the store.
I myself, as a dedicated retailer, refuse to use those, and I support the jobs that exist there, which is a separate issue. But I mean, some of the wealthy owners of really big companies are talking about basic income instead of a minimum wage because they see so many jobs going away. That's another whole level to the discussion that I don't think we'll get to here in our state, but. What it comes down to me when we talk about other ways that we can address cost of living, medical care, affordable housing, et cetera, those are all good ideas, and I hope we achieve them. But to me, they're gradual, nebulous, and a little bit iffy whether we'll do it or not. And whereas we have poverty growing exponentially in our state, and I see exactly one tool that we can do that will specifically guarantee address poverty, and raising the minimum wage is it. You know, saying we need more affordable housing, we need to reduce the cost of living, that's fine to say, but it's not happening, and we're not going to somehow do it through wishful thinking.
This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio, and today we're discussing raising Hawaii's minimum wage. You two can join the discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Hawaiian Airlines, offering nonstop service to 12 North American cities, now including Long Beach. HawaiianAirlines.com.
On February 23rd, jazz and Middle Eastern composer and musician Seren Baronian joins local ensemble Partners in Time in HPR's Atherton Studio. Taste the musical traditions of Armenia, Turkey, Macedonia, Bulgaria, and Greece with some original tunes and jazz fusion thrown into the mix. Tickets at hprtickets.org, discounted for our adventurous station members. Sponsored by Bonnie Rice and the Rice Partnership Wealth Management.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Bishop Museum, presenting the exhibition Rapa Nui, The Untold Stories of Easter Island, on view now through May 5th. More information at bishopmuseum.org.
We do have a call coming in from Honolulu. Biff, you have a question for one of our guests today.
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call. My question concerns the fact that the tipped employees in restaurants, many of them earn a lot, $20, $30, $40, even $50 an hour. In implementing the minimum wage increases, are you going to offset those by what's called a tip credit? So if you raise the wage a dollar, are you going to add a dollar onto the tip credit, or are the restaurants just going to have to carry the burden of that, which makes the cost of living in Hawaii even higher?
Sherry, do you want to take that question?
Sure. Thank you, Biff, for that question. We do hear from the restaurants about the tip credit. Right now, the proposals that are still live at the legislature do not have any tip credit increases. In our interviews with small businesses and restaurants, here are some top lines that we've heard so far, in that an increase of the minimum wage would increase the wage gap between the front and the back of the house employees at restaurants. And since most minimum wage employees are part-time or starting out students, the benefit to them will come at the expense of full-time employees, many of whom are longer-term employees of families. And some would just go through automation again, because that will cost some positions that go between $60,000 to $70,000. So these are different things we're hearing, but I know for the restaurant industry, increasing the tip credit has always been a priority because it does address the cost of doing business increases.
Yeah, I believe the last show when we discussed minimum wage last year, we had Yutaku restaurants on the air with us, and lots of challenges for the restaurant industry, and that whole front of the house, back of the house issue is a concern. Anything else that you can share, Senator, just about where things are at right now at this point in the legislature?
Well, I think we're early in the process. You know, I think these bills will hit at least four committees, and they've gone through one each at this point, so everyone will put their imprint on it, and the kinds of discussions that we're having, I think, will influence the outcome of the bill. For example, I hope we do increase the tip credit. I think that's a legitimate concern. I think it affects relatively few of our employees, so I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, but it does create an inequity in a high-end restaurant that the front-end wait staff really doesn't need the minimum wage increase. The rest of the staff does. So I hope we'll continue to address that. You know, one issue that's come up several times is that raising the minimum wage may increase prices. And I'd love to address that if I could. You know, since wages are a portion of business costs, but not the full amount, prices and costs are going up anyway, all the time. Shipping costs, the cost of goods, you know, cost of services, insurance, all of that stuff is going up all the time. So by raising minimum wage, it allows our employees, our workers, to keep up with all these costs. If we don't do it, we're leaving them further and further behind. But even more importantly, I estimate, you know, if for a business like mine, maybe it would raise our costs, our prices, 1 to 3%. Some businesses may be more, some less. But most people are going to have maybe 50% more income in their pocket. And when you pay people at the lowest level more, all that money goes into circulation. It doesn't get hoarded. It all goes into circulation. So maybe my burger costs 3% more, but I have much more people who are potential customers because they can afford it. And so I believe it's much better for the local economy, and it is the only way to not leave working folks behind as our cost spirals up anyway.
You know, there are a number of folks who work in the restaurant business, and I was surprised. I took a call from someone who was complaining, you know, with the low unemployment. He says restaurants are just struggling to get wait staff. And he said that he claimed that at this one particular restaurant, they were actually bringing in their friends from Japan on tourist visas, and they were working the restaurant, you know. And the concern he had was, you know, do they have their TB clearance, you know? Mm. But it was just a kind of an interesting glimpse into what's going on in the restaurant industry when businesses are having such a hard time keeping employees. You know, I don't know what you're seeing, Sherry, out there.
Well, I think it's attributed to the low unemployment rate, and so definitely there has been turnover. But what happens when the economy takes a downturn, how would that impact the retention rate? So we need to take that into consideration. And going back to the increase in costs of goods and services, even if a business increases cost of good by few cents or even a few dollars, collectively throughout the year, that could come out to a significant amount for a consumer and its family. So I think it's not as easy to just say that because the minimum wage increases, so the disposable income increases, that the business will sell more. I don't know if that's a direct correlation. I think it's a case-by-case basis. There's only so much that a restaurant can increase the price of a lala or pizza or ice cream. And then after that, they can't, because there's no way that a consumer would buy a $10 ice cream, or probably not, I should say. And so those are different factors to take into consideration. But it's, again, not a one-size-fits-all solution. And simply increasing minimum wage won't offset the increase of cost of doing business.
I know, just getting used to, you know, the $5 plate lunch, now a $10 plate lunch, and, you know, $6.50 for a mini plate. I mean, it takes some getting used to.
But my point there would be that increase that you're talking about, which I didn't see anything go from 5 to 10. But if it did, it can't be blamed on wages. You know, it was other costs that created that. So the question is, does our workforce able to, you know, are we lifting all boats? Are we bringing our people with us or leaving them behind?
Right, but it does make me think when I'm paying $10 for a plate lunch, I'm like, I think I can go without or bring my own food. You know, you just have to make ends meet. We have a call coming in from Waianae. Poka, you have a question?
Yes, aloha. I have a comment. For many of the service industries, such as the not-for-profits that provide health services, the contracts they receive come from the state. And so they're so heavily dependent on the state. And yet, to provide these services, there's not very much margin in which you can pay minimum wage. What assurance would we have that the state would increase their funding within these contracts so that these not-for-profits who cannot increase their fees for services because it's already set by others, by the insurance company or by the state. So we are caught in the middle. What assurance do we have that the state will come in and provide enough funding so that for these organizations, these minimum wage increases will be something that we could afford?
Interesting question, nonprofits.
Well, nonprofits that are asking the state for money are always in a situation where, no, they can't count on it. You can't count on it in any given year, and you can't count on it consistently. So, you know, the funding we give to nonprofits is based on their expenses. If their expenses go up, they're going to be asking for more money. It's part of the overall cycle of inflation. But once again, most of the drivers of our inflation is not wages. So the question is, do we take care of people along the way, or do we let them fall behind?
Jackie from Kaneohe, you have something on your mind.
I just want to say that poverty effectively disenfranchises people. We have, when you have two and three jobs that people are working, they don't vote because they can't. They can't juggle that kind of schedule. They can't go to hearings and have their voices heard because they can't juggle their schedules, or they can't afford to take the time off, but they want to participate. And a living wage would eliminate that burden of being disenfranchised, I believe. Poverty is very violent, and it takes away access as well. Thank you so much, everybody, for having this conversation.
Well, thank the caller for your compassion on this. I agree, poverty is a serious issue. It's not just an economic issue, it's a human issue, and it's all around us. And I think even from a business point of view, when we are becoming known as the city that has people sleeping in doorways, I don't think that's good for business. I don't think that's good for our economy. And it comes down to, as the caller pointed, I think we have a bargain in our life that we have to sign up for. And if the choice is, you know, all of us business owners, we're doing okay. You know, generally speaking, we're not struggling. The question is, do we make a little bit more money next year and have more and more people fall by the wayside? Or do we make a little less money next year and have a society that works better for everybody around us? To me, that's a really easy question to answer. I'm willing to pay my fair share, and I hope that it leads to a more equitable society where fewer people are struggling in poverty. It's not just the person who's homeless, but as you mentioned, if someone's working three jobs, what's their quality of life? What's their family time? What's the effect on their kids? You know, these are real human issues that affect real people's lives in the present day. And I think poverty, if we have a tool to virtually eliminate poverty and we don't use it, I don't see the excuse for that. I think it's inexcusable.
We did have a call. Mike from Hawaii Kai couldn't stay on, but he had a suggestion about state tuition waivers. Could they be a solution in helping to lift our community?
I'm all for everything that lowers the cost of living for people, for regular folks. But once again, these are nebulous, gradual, iffy proposals. Raising the minimum wage is specific, tangible, and will have an effect of reducing poverty.
Okay. And Sherry, I don't know, any thoughts just on what we've heard so far from callers, you know, their concerns about just trying to make a living here in Hawaii?
Mm-hmm. We certainly appreciate the caller's concerns, and again, we understand, and we want to be part of the solution to address the homelessness, poverty, but we do have to be cognizant of the impact that it will have overall in increasing the cost of doing business. Has a direct correlation of increasing the cost of living. And so what can we do, again, from a comprehensive standpoint to address all the different factors that's driving the cost of living? Let's attack that. Let's see what we can do to mitigate those the impact of the increase in the cost of living. So, you know, it's not an easy solution, obviously. But from where I'm coming from, the business perspective, and more specifically, the small businesses, the mom and pop stores, it's not a one size fits all. And we're just concerned about the impact that it would have on small businesses. We commend those that are able to pay more than the minimum wage, and those that can't, we do commend them for providing benefits in other ways because, as I mentioned earlier, business consider their employees as families, especially the small ones. We hear it every day. But it's just that affordability issue. What can they do? Because every day there's different factors increasing the cost of doing business. And as I mentioned earlier, prepaid health care is Hawaii is the only state that has prepaid health care that is certainly driving the costs.
If you're just joining us, our guests in the studio are Senator Russell Rudiman and Sherry Manor McNamara, who is with the Chamber of Commerce. We're talking about the push to raise the minimum wage from $10.10 to possibly up to $17. Do call and join the conversation at calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. So where are these bills at right now? They've gone through some of the subject committees and are headed to the money committees now?
Yes. So the Ways and Means Committee, as well as the Finance Committee on the House side, and the committees have until next Thursday latest to schedule it because the deadline is Friday to file the committee reports and the bills.
Have you heard anything interesting in the committees that you've sat on?
Well, I haven't been on any of the committees that are hearing these bills yet. So, no, I do think in the end the House and Senate will have their own slightly different ideas that will have to get hashed out in conference committee. I do think there's a great willingness, a great commitment to address an increase in minimum wage this year through almost the whole spectrum of politics in the state. So the question is how much and how fast. You know, I do think we'll probably come out of this year with some kind of minimum wage increase. It's my hope it'll be to $15 gradually with some exemptions for things like mom and pop stores, as mentioned.
And what else would you like to see, Sherry, as these bills kind of make their way through?
Well, we'd like the legislature to truly consider what the different proposals, not necessarily just minimum wage, but other factors that are driving up the cost of living. So I would commend that there's been a number of bills addressing affordable housing, homelessness, food tax credits or GT exemptions, as well as other bills going through the process. And so we hope that all these bills have some thoughtful discussion. So in the end, we can see what is being done to address overall the cost of living and not just the minimum wage increase.
I know we have the Democratic Party supporting the increase in the minimum wage and the Republicans are opposing it. But what about what's happening on the national stage?
I'm not aware that there's a serious discussion on the national level about a minimum wage increase in our current year. Maybe Sherry knows something I don't.
Not in the forefront, but I know, as Senator reflected earlier, different states are considering it. And I know some states already have, or municipalities already have increased, and that's where we've heard from our counterparts that it has had an impact on businesses and the communities. And so since we just got into the last incremental increase of 1010, you know, we'd like to see more research as to how that has impact in the last 4 years, as well as moving forward, how another increase will impact the costs of the jobs and benefits and et cetera. So again, Hawaii is different. We're an island state, and there's so many different factors involved than the states on the continent. And these are factors that we need to consider when we think about the overall cost of doing business and the cost of living.
We have a call from Kauai. Michael, do you have a question? Hi, Michael. Are you there?
Hey there. I'm driving, so I was on speakerphone. I need to pull over.
Okay. Good for you.
I'm a small. I own a bakery on the island of Kauai, and it's a major struggle just getting help, training help, and the turnover of help is just ridiculous. So I want to first say that I don't think $15 an hour is a living wage. If I was making $15 an hour, there's no way I would be able to manage my household, my family, and really think that that's a living wage. I think that's a ridiculous thought. Maybe $30 an hour is a living wage. But if I bring in people now at $15 an hour, I'm going to have to increase my costs. My retail sales and my wholesale sales will have to increase accordingly. And I think that my prices on the retail side will be too much to bear the cost. So I'll start losing money because I won't be able to increase enough. It's already expensive as it is on this island or on any island. I'm bringing in flour. I'm shipping in from mainland organic flours. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole life on these islands. It's just but I heard what the man said earlier about creating more income for people. They're going to start buying more stuff. I think these people are going to be very frugal and not be buying. And they're going to be saving their money, or they're just going to be blowing it away. The training process, it doesn't make sense to me at $15 an hour.
All right, thank you, Michael. We hear your pain.
I don't know what the solution there is. If he's saying 15 isn't enough, and yet he can't, it's unreasonable to ask him to pay that. I mean. You have to pick a side, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe we should just say, yeah, a living wage. No, we're not paying you a living wage, but we may raise the minimum higher.
But, you know, there's a lot of – some of this is fear-mongering. The idea that the cost of your pastry is going to go through the roof, it's just not true. This is a small percentage of your overall cost. His cost of shipping from the mainland, his cost of utilities. These things go up independently of wage, and wage is a small – portion of the slice. So when people say your plate lunch went from 5 to 10, no, it didn't. Not because of anybody's wages. It's simply not true.
Some of the costs are uncontrolled. Healthcare costs, it's to near point uncontrolled unless we do something drastic. Shipping costs, obviously, because we're an island state. So there's different costs involved that it's hard to control and manage. So I guess what's the tipping point? What is the point where, okay, that's it, I don't know how much more we can increase the cost of goods and services. So I appreciate your perspective, I think that's the perspective that we come from. And so appreciate this discussion because it's not an easy solution, obviously. There's so many different factors involved.
And to hear firsthand, I think, from these business owners or people who make minimum wage is something that gets you in the heart. We have a call from Honolulu. John, do you have a question?
Yeah, hi, this is John from Honolulu. I think there's two things that still need to be addressed. One is small businesses that have few employees, labor is a huge part of their costs, and we should think of some way of exempting smaller businesses from these large increases in minimum wage. Minimum wage is not designed to be a living wage. It's an entry-level wage for people to learn some skills, get in the marketplace, and succeed, and then they'll get paid more. And I think we're doing a disservice to people getting into the labor force by raising the minimum wage and possibly closing out some jobs. The other thing I wanted to comment on, I think we really have to address, is the fact that our prepaid health care act does add $3 to $4 an hour to every individual working in the state. So our minimum wage is really $13, $14 an hour, not $10. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you. Don from Honolulu, you have a comment?
Someone actually mentioned it before about the cost of living, right? It's going to go up regardless, and from we've seen from 2014 to 2018, the cost of living did go up, but it's always going to go up no matter what, and it actually went up slower than the national average. And also regarding healthcare, I mean, businesses are losing out providing healthcare because their workers are not making enough money to sustain themselves and to take care of themselves. And my personal opinion about the Chamber of Commerce, I think they don't have much, I don't know what the word is. I just don't think that they're very credible because I read their last written testimony about the minimum wage increase, and the study that they use is actually in favor of raising the minimum wage at a gradual rate. They said that there's all these negative effects, but that was because in Seattle, where the study was done, they had an 18% increase in wages. And right now, most of our bills were asking for a 10% increase. And that same study also says that in Seattle, they were going from a wage that was already high to a higher wage, and that it does not account for other places that have lower wages.
Well, thank you for calling in. And Sherry, we've only probably got about a minute left. Anything you want to address there?
Well, I appreciate the caller's perspective, but we are here just to be on behalf of our small business members who are telling their stories as to how the increases will impact them, have impacted them, and will impact them. And as the previous caller said, he's right, prepaid health care, it adds to the minimum wage level at least $3 or $4 per hour per employee. So that's a huge driver for businesses. So again, we are coming from the perspective of a small business community, which is the fabric of our community and the engine to our economy.
We would like to thank our guests, Big Island Senator Russell Ruderman and Sherry Manor McNamara with the Chamber of Commerce. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. If your call didn't make it on the air during today's discussion, you can still contact the Talkback line. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation Podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of the conversation.